It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Quick little add to that update before we get to Sal. Adam Schefter says strong possibility Christian McCaffrey misses week two.
Okay. Hope you have Jordan Mason.
Jordan Mason season, I guess.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline after, the first Buffalo Bills football Monday of the year. Sal, is where's this one slot in? Pedestrian wins, Bills fans are used to wins, right? Like, they win a lot of games these days, and starting the season with a win is not a surprise. It was a little bit shaky at times, but I don't know. Your recap of your extra point show yesterday, what was the vibe, what was the mood?
Oh, recap of the recap show, right? Yeah, remember, they did lose two out of the previous three openers, right? Lost in 21 to the Steelers, and then lost in 23 to the Jets. Beat the Rams, obviously, Thursday night in between. So it was nice, you know, from that standpoint, to open up with a victory Monday. Fans, I think, yesterday, I'm trying to gauge the temperature, that there's still concerns, but, you know, hey, you work things out week one. I still think, you know, here's, I think, what came out of yesterday for me was wherever you fall on Sean McDermott and coaching, it doesn't matter. Like, doesn't matter what happens. You're going to fall there. And, like, we had a couple calls yesterday that said, well, yeah, I appreciate the adjustments, but still not good enough. Sorry, got to go. Like, you know what I mean? Like, things like that. And I don't want to make this whole thing about that, but I think that was also a tone of it, which was, it was great. It's great to get a win. A win's a win. Still some concerns, you know, but, you know, that was nice to see the comeback. But if you don't like the coach, you're not going to like the coach no matter what they did yesterday or Sunday. It didn't matter.
Yeah. All right. Well, confirming your priors is what people like to refer to that as. Like, you know what? Whatever you felt going in, you're confirming your priors. All right, so let's talk about Josh Allen. I mean, I put up a Twitter poll today about him and whether or not the Bills might get spooked by a week one hand injury, jumping over players. You know, I know that they want him to be himself and be an MVP candidate and be what he is. Like, he's an amazing player. There's no doubt about that. But, of course, he's their most important asset. And I'm sure they'd like him to protect himself whenever he can. What do you make of this happening this early in the season? The nature of the injury, how he's going to be dealing with it, playing through it. It's the non-throwing hand. How much could it be a factor, and how much do you think it might have, if at all, spooked Sean McDermott or the Bills?
I don't know about spook them. I think that they understand that, you know, this is part of the game, and this is the type of player that these things are going to happen, unfortunately. You know, the way he landed it on his hand, a little bit of a, you know, kind of a freak play there, but that's what happens when you have Josh Allen in running. Could it possibly impact the game plan on Thursday? Absolutely, right? I mean, like, you think about what you want him to do or not do, but let's remember, guys, after that happened to him on Sunday, nothing changed. He still ran with the ball. Like, he slid. I think that one play where they wanted the extra hit maybe was even a slide. Mm-hmm. You know, he still ran. He still took shotgun snaps. He still took center snaps. He threw the ball. He handed off the ball. I don't think anything changed after he got hurt. Now, there's also adrenaline pumping. After the game, he had to get the x-rays. We know that. Everything's cleared. That's fine. I don't know about spook, though. I mean, this is what happens when you have Josh Allen. And, you know, are they going to just suddenly, you know, have just a different type of quarterback? I don't think so. And they're going to let Josh Allen try to be Josh Allen. But with that's going to come him making decisions that you're always going to hold your breath on. That's just the way it's going to be. We all know that. Josh can say as much as he can. You said it yesterday, Jeremy. Josh can sit there up there all he wants and say, I got to be smarter and I can't play like that all the time. And then he's still going to do it, right? I mean, that's just what's going to happen no matter what. Now, I would say for me, and I'm sure the coaches, the concern would be, the taking the snap, making sure you're buttoned up there, like taking the snap under center, and taking a shotgun snap, the ball hitting you in the hand. For me also, if you're under center and you turn to hand it to your right, so you have to hand it with your left hand, that would be a concern for me. It's not, because it's not a throwing hand, but you still have to use that hand for functions of on the play. So if the running back's going to Josh's right off tackle, let's say, he has to turn with his left and stick it in the belly with his left hand. Like, that to me is, okay, can you do that effectively? Those are things they have to work out this week.
So let's call this the injury report and get the rest of it. We've got Josh, the update on Josh there, and the Barnes Firm injury report. It's brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Taron Johnson, the bigger story here, a very important player and an injury that will force him to miss some time.
Very important. I think he's played really well against the Dolphins specifically, too, because of a lot of things they do. The way that they run a lot of their motion, and he can really move around in the slot and kind of follow that and understand positioning. He's so smart, his football IQ. Plus, the way the Bills have attacked the Dolphins has been sometimes a lot of blitzes with guys like Taron Johnson off the edge, corners, slot corners. They really try to get you out of your first read, and they try to attack, you know, right away early in the snap count in the down. So I wonder if there's an adjustment there. That's something they've done. Now, I don't know, you know, how long he's going to be out. Sean McDermott didn't have that particular information. But this is a massive loss for the Bills on the defense. And this is an all-pro player. And he's very hard to replace. That being said, the Bills have one of the better replacements in the league, which is Cam Lewis. Cam Lewis, I've said many years, he could start for a lot of teams in this league at nickel cornerback. And for him to be able to step right in the way he did against Arizona, and now at least have a full body of, you know, practices coming up here, understanding what his role is going to be, where he didn't really, that wasn't going to be his role, even though he is the normal nickel anyway, the backup nickel, that really wasn't what he was slated for on Sunday. Now he knows this is what his job is going to be. He's going to be the starting nickel cornerback, presumably, and he'll be able to have a full few days. So to me, more than anything, it's not just, yeah, not more than anything, but yes, Taron Johnson's loss is massive. It also, I think, is a ripple effect, though. What happens at the dime safety? Do we see Cole Bishop dress and play that role? I don't think it's ideal for Jamarcus Ingram to keep playing there. I don't know if the Bills want to do that. He was forced to do it, into that role, because they didn't have another safety really dressed for the game because Cole Bishop was down. Mike Edwards was out, that he could have done that, but that's not really his game. So I wonder how the ripple effect is on what you want to do in those sub packages, even, you know, now going beyond Taron Johnson being out.
And relating to the opponent coming up, Sal, like, I remember last year, so much of why the Bills did so well against the Dolphins earlier in the year, and how they've done well against Tyreek Hill in the regular season in the past with that speed, is their communication being on point, and they're always rotating the right way, and the pre-snap adjustments. And of course, there's so many new pieces already from last year to this year, and now Taron Johnson added to that list as well. But, you know, with saying that, you know, Cam Lewis, Jamarcus Ingram, Damar Hamlin playing back there, it's not like all these guys are brand new to the team, but what about that element with this opponent? Because it feels like communication is, like, very important against Miami.
It is, Joe. And look, I mean, you're right. You know, one thing to take solace in, you have Cam Lewis 6 years in into the system. Jamarcus Ingram 3 years actually into this system. He's actually been here for 3 years now. This is his third year.
Mm-hmm.
And who is the other guy you brought up there?
Hamlin. Right?
Damar Hamlin. Four years in this system, right? Now you do have Cole Bishop, who's newer. You do have Mike Edwards, who's newer, if they're going to be on the field. One actual advantage here is, believe it or not, playing on the road. It's going to be quieter when the Dolphins have the ball, right? So it's easier to communicate a little bit. When you're at home, you know, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde would say, tell you all the time, we want our crowd as loud as possible, but it's certainly challenging on them to have nonverbal communication then, where they can't talk to each other. But you don't want to take away from the crowd. But when you're on the road, you can at least communicate a little bit better in those situations. Yes. And I'll say this. The Dolphins, we know that they have this dynamic offense. I think that, you know, early in the season, too, now they weren't, like, incredible on offense on Sunday against the Jags, but they're going to have wrinkles. There are newer things. There are things that they've been working on, I'm sure, in this offseason that they're going to try to take the Bills by surprise. On their side of things, their top two running backs mispracticed yesterday. Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert. Now, both teams had a walkthrough. It's an estimation. I don't know. I mean, you get to today and we could find out, yeah, they're fine. They were just, you know, taking a day to kind of heal up a little bit. And that's probably what I expect. But they're going to be a bit banged up too, so you wonder how that affects their game plan.
Speaking of game plan, Sal, like of all those wrinkles, if you are the Dolphins and you have some wrinkles, this might be a good week to use a big one, right? I mean, this game is important for them after the way that the season ended last year. They're trying to win their division. They're trying to beat playoff teams, something they have not yet done with Mike McDaniel as the coach. Maybe Jacksonville ends up as one, and they did beat Jacksonville. On game plan stuff, we got a couple calls to catch up on. We'll just bring them in with Sal. Tone in Hamilton, good morning. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning. North of the border call. Just wanted to talk about how the weather plays an impact on the run versus pass game. You know, we always rely on Josh Allen to do everything. Now that Brady's, you know, the OC, allowing the run to be more heavy, and since our stadium's such a weather contingent stadium week to week, you know, I like being a little more run heavy. But thanks for the call.
Thanks, Tone. Sal, my evaluation of the opener was windy enough to affect kickers, not windy enough to affect the passing game very much.
Yeah, I don't know. Can we determine anything about what Joe Brady's offense is, run heavy, pass heavy after one game and a wind like that and being down 17-3? I don't know if we can. I think they kind of had to adjust the game plan a little bit, I'm sure. There were a lot of passes called that Josh Allen ran. You know, he had 23 pass attempts. He probably should have had closer to 30, to be quite honest with you, right? Because these weren't like designed runs. He were scrambles. He ran. You know, so I don't know. I don't want to lean into Joe Brady's run heavy. I wouldn't take away that from week number one. You know, the other thing I want to push back. I said this on my show yesterday, guys. Like I want to push back against this notion that the Bills are relying on Josh Allen to be Superman. I don't think they were relying on it. I just think he did it. You know, like they moved the ball. They moved the ball independent of him running the ball into the end zone a couple times. They were efficient on offense. The first drive, they moved right down the field, then they fumbled. Second drive, they moved right down the field. They scored a touchdown and had it called back. Like, I mean, they were very good on offense. The Cardinals could not stop them. I do not think it was, oh my God, we can't do anything. Let's have Josh Allen put on the cape. I just think that's what Josh Allen does. He sees something, he takes it, and he's a great player. So I don't think this is some offense where I'm not coming out of Sunday thinking to myself, oh my God, they're so screwed and they just have to have this guy put on the cape. I don't think that at all.
I might think that. Well, one thing that we don't always know, Sal, like you said, when he drops back and scrambles because he sees something, there are going to be scrambles where no one's open, so he runs. And then there's going to be scrambles where somebody might be open, but he thinks he's got an opportunity to make something happen on his own. So, like, you know, it's a small difference, maybe. And it's one of the reasons I think it's always hard to evaluate Joe Brady off of freakishly good Josh Allen plays. Because at some point, you know, you call a play, what got run? Well, what got run was Josh Allen on 2nd and 6 jumped over Buda Baker instead of whatever the play design was. You know, at the end of the day, that's a touchdown. So, hooray, good stuff. On Brady and the run game, they did run 16 out of 21 plays on first down if you remove the drive at the end of the first half, which is a two-minute drive. Like, I do think there is evidence this team, and this goes to the playoff game last year as well, and maybe this is their way to try and protect Josh Allen from jumping over linebackers by handing the ball up. But I do think we have started to build evidence that this is going to be a run-heavier version of the Buffalo Bills.
Yes, I agree that they'll lean a little more into the run. I also think it's circumstantial. Look around the league, Jeremy, right? This is what's happening. Like, teams are just not allowing teams to throw. Look at the quarterback numbers in this league. How many quarterbacks threw for 300 yards? Right? I don't think this has to be just because Joe Brady just wants to be a ground and pound. Not that you're saying that necessarily, but I just think that this is what's happening in the league. Teams are not allowing you. The way to move the ball might have to be to run, and you're running on first down because it was pretty much working, right? I mean, they were running the ball well. They were getting yards in chunks, 4 or 5 yards at a time. Now, I know at the end of the day, James Cook actually only averaged 3.7 yards a carry, which I was actually really surprised about because
me too.
Early in the game,
and I think
he was running it pretty well.
And that might be because they were running it so much in the second half. Arizona started to key in on it.
Here you go. First half. James Cook, 6.1 yards a carry. Why wouldn't you run it in first down? Right. I mean, like,
and then second half.
Right, in second half, they started to button up a little bit, and I don't know why what adjustment they made, but they did a nice job, obviously. I just think this is an overall thing that's happening right now in the NFL anyway.
But even
look at the numbers, look at the way defenses are playing, and I think teams are just, the Bills are going to be, we knew this, they said this, hey, too high shell, you can't go over the top. And yeah, sure, I'll give to you that maybe Joe Brady wants to be able to do this. Hey, I'll also tell you this. If you listen to the pregame interview with Brandon Bean with Chris Brown, I thought it was really interesting that Chris said to him, like, he asked him, like, for a position or a player or something like that that's kind of, like, stepped up or been a sleeper. And he's like, you know, they're not going to point out anybody. But you know what Brandon Bean said? He goes, you know, I really like our running back room, and I think this is the best group we've had since I've been here. And I noted that. And I said, that's really interesting to me that the Bills feel like they have a group that they can, you know, lean on a little bit here. So it's not surprising in that regard either to me.
Yeah, I think they're more willing to go three deep at running back. And last year, what, like, that's Latavius Murray after Damian Harris gets hurt. Mm. And in the past, it's been Matt Breida and
TJ Yeldon for a minute.
Right now, I don't think there's any doubt about that. The point, Sal, you make about like how the league is going this way, that's not wrong. And that's going to be something that's to be tracked. But just to push back, not even push back on the point, but the way that I will look at it is not where they are running as a percentage of pass run versus where they have been, but it's with their peers. For a long time, they were a top three, top five team in being passive. If they go to 25th, then that is a very big shift, and that cannot be chalked up to that's the direction the league is going. That would definitely be a decision that we're going to be a team that is that kind of team now.
Sure. But I do think that they're going to probably want to do that a little bit more. It will prolong Josh a little bit here, both in the season and, you know, in his career. I also think they probably feel like they can run the ball a little bit. There's no doubt. So
I think they're right about that.
But if that's what's going to be successful, I'm okay with it. Right. I mean, I guess it would be a concern if, well, they're doing this, but they also, because they're struggling when they need to pass the ball, they can't pass the ball either.
Brian in Arcade on this point. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, because that was like the consensus from Mike Shope as well, and definitely the morning show. We talked about like the proclivity to run, and are we becoming too run heavy? And I guess that would be my question back to you guys. Like, what do you want it to look like? I mean, we were going back to the Dable, four wide, empty backfield, and gun all day. To me, you could have that offense, but the Bills don't invest that way. They don't invest in wide receiver like that's what they want. I mean, up until last year, Gabe Davis was the highest drafted wide receiver that Bean had ever taken. And you had rotated in a cast. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders out of retirement, Jamison Crowder, low-end free agent. All we heard about was Deontay Harding. Look at all the things they're going to do with him. No, he ended up being a veteran kind of scrub receiver that they phased out of the offense. The investment isn't there to run those kind of things because you don't have skill sets. Like a player that I'd like, I mean, what would it take for Bean to get Jalin Hyatt off of the Giants? That's a field stretcher that you could actually possibly use because of his skill set. He's buried over there. If you don't invest there, then to me it makes sense to give it to James Cook. He's a second-round pick from Georgia, so you get pedigree. You get his brother played in the league. You know the genetics are good. He tested well. So he's a better athlete than what you've tried to put out there at wide receiver. I think that's why you watch these playoff games and Josh has to play like a miracle man. And
well,
even then,
to this,
not enough.
You're saying a lot, Brian, that are more, I mean, I don't necessarily think any of it's off base. It's all off-season stuff. I'll look at this game. They averaged 10 yards a pass. You could say, without even making it a point about receivers, tight ends, backs, how you invest, formation, at the end of the day, the root of this conversation, Sal, will, for me, and I think for a lot of Bills fans, be you have an unbelievably good quarterback. And if you're running a lot and handing the ball to someone else, you're taking the ball out of his hands, which an easy answer here could just be, well, they do that until they feel like they need to break glass. Right, Joe had the numbers on this. When they got down 17-3, they all of a sudden switched a lot more.
They were pass heavy from 240 in the second quarter to 8 minutes in the fourth quarter. They threw 66% of the time,
and that's like, okay, now it's time to get serious. And they threw the ball a lot. But you know, for me, it's about you have one of the best quarterbacks. If you hand it off, you're often doing the opponent a favor. Now, if they end up being a really good run team, well, then they'll be unstoppable, and we'll see how that goes. But running the ball, to me, generally ends up, well, killing the clock, keeping games close, and it might not be the best use of Josh Allen. So that's really what it's about. Again, if they keep winning games, no one's going to really complain too much. I also think the degree of difficulty is about to get a lot tougher in the next 4 or 5 weeks. So there's a lot that you said there, Brian. I don't necessarily disagree. But they have Josh Allen. And with this group, Sal, they passed the ball very effectively. He was great passing the ball yesterday.
Yeah.
Monday. Sorry.
It's gonna, look,
Sunday.
Aside from the run pass stuff here, which I think we're just kind of beaten to death over one game, to be quite honest, right? Like, I mean, I have no idea. Like, I just think 17-3, they hardly touched the ball, guys, before it was 17-3. I mean, really, they didn't have the ball much at all. And when they did, they actually moved the ball, whether it was regarding run or pass. But to your point, which I agree with Jeremy, which is even in the pass game itself, it's going to look different. They're not going to be this take, you know, strike it down the field team. They had the one shot, and he had MVS, and he missed him. Other than that, what you saw, I think, is a lot of what they've built towards, which is it's going to be a lot of short and mid-range stuff. You know, that's what they're going to do. They want to be a team to get the ball, be efficient in the pass game, get the ball to these guys, and let them make plays. And that pretty much did work. And then when you have to try and take a shot, you can. But that might be challenging considering how defenses are playing them. But also, do they have that personnel? And that's something we don't know. Their one guy that we think can be the field stretcher was the one guy they went to on a deep shot, right? That was MVS. Didn't wind up happening. I go back to the owners' meetings. Remember sitting there that day with Sean McDermott and, you know, the AFC coaches' breakfast, and him talking about how teams are making it very difficult on you to go over the top. You're going to have to find a get the ball. You have to get the ball to your playmakers somehow. And he even didn't want to say much that day. It was more like, well, I don't want to get into strategy, right? So I went and I talked to Brian Daboll. I talked to Sean McVay. I talked to Andy Reid. And every one of them said the same thing. They all said it's just getting really difficult to do that in the NFL. You have to find guys that can work underneath and make plays once you get them the ball.
And the Bills averaged over 7 yards after catch per catch against Arizona, which is a big number for them. I mean, they've been near the bottom of the league for most of Josh Allen's career because they're throwing down the field. So this was a little bit of getting what they were designing to get. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. All right, Sal, did we miss anything? Should we run through anything else? Did you watch Aaron Rodgers last night?
I
feel like fears of the Jets are subsiding a bit. Granted, it's one game, just like the Bills. It's one game. But, man, if you get pressure on him, they're toast.
So a couple things on the Jets. Let's start with Rodgers. I mean, when he had time, sometimes he just threw some lasers. He's just super accurate, right? That's what he does. But he did look kind of older and immobile, right? I mean, isn't that what he's 40? He's coming off the Achilles. He really couldn't move that much. I never saw him really scramble around much out there. It's like he had to get rid of the ball. And when he did, there were a few times where he threw great passes. Garrett Wilson is terrific, obviously. But it wasn't sustainable to do that. I thought I'd see more from Breece Hall. I think at the end of the day, he might have had a decent yardage. I have to go back and look, but they didn't really do much. I think their offensive line is kind of, you know, shaky. It's average at best. But guys, the biggest thing for me with the Jets was their D-line got pushed around after the first quarter. The first quarter, they did a nice job. Williams was disrupting plays. After that, it's like every time you looked up, the Niners were moving the line of scrimmage down 2 to 3 yards, which was allowing Jordan Mason to have the day that he had and the night that he had. So, I look at the Jets. That was a tough game for them. But look at their schedule coming up. If you're a Jets fan, like if you're doing radio today in New York and our sister station WFAN, you're obviously concerned. There's no doubt. You're also going, they next have Tennessee, New England, Denver, Minnesota, a real good opportunity for them to right the ship.
Sal Capaccio. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
More calls when we get back. Got a bunch on Joe Brady and game plan and identity as we, you know, start to find out what this Bills offense is. One game in. We do have 8 games from last year, but again, that wasn't exactly his full offense. So we'll see. More than 8 games, right? Or was it 8 total? 2 playoff games. I want to add those
week
in, of
11
course.
On, yeah, like 8 games. Right. 9 games.
Jeremy and Joe, more of your phone calls, 803-0550. And when we get back, I've got something on Colorado football. Just a very quick mention before the calls. You know, Coach Prime, there is a thing that he made a rule in Colorado Stadium as part of like the game presentation. It's almost impossible to defend. I think it's absolutely it's bonkers. Bonkers.
Interesting. Next. Something in the stadium?
In the stadium that happens, yeah.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When did you find out that you were going to be starting?
When did I find out? Maybe Friday night, you know, something like that.
I never told Jordan he was going to start. I told him he had to be ready a bunch, but I might have been Bobby or somebody trying to pump him up, but I knew he was going to have to play a lot. I told him that he was going to have to, wasn't going to be like usual. He was going to be a number two back that was splitting a lot of the time, but now he didn't know he for sure was doing that till today.
Okay. The Niners. How about a great team that might be run like a bit of a mess?
The Niners?
Yeah, a little bit. All the contract all stuff, right. All the drama. They just signed the guys. And now here's Kyle Shanahan and Jordan Mason. What's the story? Somebody figure out what your story is, guys. Get your story straight. When did you find out that Christian McCaffrey was not going to play? When were you going to get the start? Yeah. I guess both could be true, that Mason was told, you're going to play a lot, be ready to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then McCaffrey was not going to be ruled out of the game. Anyway, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Try a quick reverse take on the Niners on for size real quick. Should they feel fortunate that they landed into Brock Purdy? I mean, he looks pretty good out there. He looks like he's pretty talented. Like, I know he was the last pick of the draft.
Yes, any team that drafts a guy with the last pick in the draft and gets a guy that is that good, you should be feeling lucky.
Like, they get no criticism at all for trading three first-round picks to move up and get Trey Lance, who was a catastrophic miss.
Yeah, they win games. Who cares?
Right. And the coach also, part of it too, that I don't think, have you ever heard that take? Oh man, they're lucky they got Brock Purdy. You never hear it because Kyle Shanahan is going to get 99.9% of the credit for Brock Purdy being good.
Yeah. 803-0550.
Just working my way back to calling Kyle Shanahan a fraud. That's
there you go.
Slowly but surely.
Just like Josh Allen jumping over linebackers, you got to find your way back.
This is the path.
You got to get back on your Shanahan hate.
Yep.
Johnny in Buffalo is next up. Good morning, Johnny.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, just happy we got the win over the weekend. Excited for this game against Miami. But, you know, one big criticism I have, and I don't know how much you guys have talked about it over the last couple days here, but it's, you know, kicking that field goal at the end of the game on fourth down. And listen, I understand you're like, okay, our defense has been playing well the second half, but listen, that's the field goal of death right there. I'm texting all my buddies and we're just all in agreement. Like, this is the worst decision you can make. Statistically, you know, it says go for it there. It's fourth down. You got the best player on the field, maybe one of the best top two players in the NFL on the field, fourth and two. And, you know, it's a windy game. Your kicker just kicked one that got returned for a touchdown. And you're deciding to kick a field goal into the wind, which, okay, Grady made it. But then look what happened on the kickoff. It, you know, goes out of bounds. It's just those types of decisions I can't understand. Like, yeah, okay, we won. We won the game. Great. But it doesn't mean it's the right decision. I can't comprehend how we put ourselves in this position again and again and again with McDermott. And it's these types of decisions when it comes to playoff time where, you know, it doesn't, like, what happens in the regular season, I think we'll still win the AFC East. I think we'll still make the playoffs. But when we get to the playoffs, what's going to happen? What are you learning over your tenure, Sean McDermott, that's going to indicate that you know how to handle these situations? And why are you taking the ball out of Josh Allen's hands in that situation? And that's just my frustration. I'd love to see Kincaid get more involved. Love to see Shakir get more involved, because that dude, every time he touches the ball, something good happens. But, you know, on to Miami.
All right. So on the field goal, yeah, like if you're thinking about what are all the things that could go wrong, if Bass misses, that's catastrophic for his confidence.
Yep. The point about, like, is McDermott getting better at this, though? Like, is he learning from these situations? Like, I feel like there is some evidence that he does, right? That this has gotten better since when he first showed up
as the Bills head coach. I mean, not all the way. There will be moments. I think any football coach, you're going to have moments where, what did they do? That they punted where? They kicked a field goal where? They didn't go for this fourth? Why did they? But I don't know. I've got more confidence, even though Sunday happened and they kicked a field goal to death, which I would typically almost never want to see the team do. AFC Championship 2020, they kick a field goal to go down 9 into halftime.
That's right.
When I think I hit rock bottom with him in game management decisions in this area.
And that's not the same. Would he do that again? No.
No, and then that's like, again, the point about, like, is he learning? Like, that's what I feel like he learned from. Yeah. Because in the next dozen opportunities, remember when they went to Foxborough, they were down after losing the win game here. They go to New England. They went for, like, fourth downs in the first half. And scored on two touchdowns on drives where they went for four. So, like, I feel like he's gotten better with that stuff. Is he getting better with the late game and the field goal stuff? Like, that, I guess I don't know.
If I could say this, too, there's one other piece I want to say, which is, if we're all being honest, McDermott cannot prove to us what he'll do in the playoffs in the regular season. If he had gone for it, and they get it, or they don't get it, and they win. Either way, if he had gone for it, I'm not saying the caller is being disingenuous. I'm just saying I feel like I know how this works. If he had gone for it, someone would say, I'm glad he went for it. I hope he'll do that in the playoffs. Right?
Right.
We are at a point in our lives where the regular season is the regular season. We're sitting here talking about, are they going to run it too much? I have no idea. We'll see when we get to the playoffs, when they play Kansas City again. In the playoffs against Kansas City, I thought they ran it too much. And in the playoffs against Kansas City, Tyler Bass missed the kick that he needed to make. In the regular season against Arizona, he made it. This is a team that we're going to remember what they do in the playoffs. And it's really tough to prove anything in the regular season, even all the way down to they routinely beat the Chiefs in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And if they do it again this year, Joe, what's everyone going to say?
They all do it in the playoffs.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Has to be in the playoffs. So I don't think the point is wrong. I'm always going to try and keep that in mind myself, that it's going to be almost impossible to convince us you're going to do something in the playoffs until it's done. But thank you for the phone call. 803-0550. Mario in Jacksonville. Mario, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Hey, I wanted to comment on what the previous caller was talking about before the break. We're talking about the national media, especially the last couple of days, is talking about Josh having to put on the cape playing hero ball. I'm really confused by that. I thought he played exactly the way he needed to play and did exactly what the defense gave him and made plays when he needed to with his legs. It's kind of funny, when we had Ken Dorsey, people were upset that he was being stifled, and now Joe Brady essentially lets him be who he is. He didn't have that deer in the headlight look, and he spread the ball around. I thought the offense looked really well, and they moved the ball. If they run heavy, I'm not sure why there's complaints that if they move the ball and we win, what does it matter if we don't look like the Dable offense? So I'm kind of confused by that narrative. But I think the more important issue that we have to look at for the team-wise is the defense. I think the secondary, to me, is a huge question mark. I wasn't surprised to see Arizona move the ball because they have a lot of weapons, and Kyler is a shifty player. But with Taron Johnson out this week, I'm really worried that they're not going to be able to put the right package in to stop both Hill and Waddle. And I wanted to get your guys' take at how we look at safety, that we're still out, and then what kind of package do we put together to try to stop just these receivers, because the two running backs, essentially, I think they're going to, I don't know if they're going to play, but they're probably going to be pass heavy. So I think that's where we got to focus our attention on and let the offense kind of find itself. And if we move the ball, we move the ball.
It's such a different challenge this week. Yeah. Whereas Murray's biggest threat is scrambling and what he can do after things break down, maybe Tua is on schedule, and Arizona did not throw to their wide receivers. Really,
no,
at all.
No, the guys that got targeted were actually Dorian Williams got targeted 6 times, and Cam Lewis got targeted 7 times. And I'm looking at Cam Lewis, 21 of his snaps were in the box at linebacker. Like, Lewis was the one, actually, that was filling in on that safety spot. And he got targeted 7 times.
Well, watching Miami, I watched that game, the Dolphins and the Jaguars. And Jacksonville very much had a chance to win this game and probably feels like they should have won this game. That said, Miami was sloppy. Really sloppy. Yeah. their first three drives end in the opponent's territory going for fourth downs, like a fourth and four, and a pass gets dropped, and a fourth and they were sloppy. And Tua was a little bit sloppy, but they hit their big plays to Waddle and Hill. And I don't know what to make of this matchup. I'll tell you who you need a big game from. You need Greg Rousseau and Von Miller to be great again. And Rousseau, his three sacks, like we talked earlier this morning about, you know, the sack where he chases Kyler out of bounds. That's, you get awarded a sack for a loss.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the kind of sack they need from him this week against Tua. He also had the fastest time to sack of the week in the NFL.
That's what you need.
That's what you need against Tua. Yeah. That's what you need against Miami, is to get to him quickly before he can make that read. Because one thing that the Dolphins can do is they can throw it quickly and throw it far in one false step, and they've got four guys on the roster that are going to make you pay. And does Arizona, due respect, does Arizona have one guy like that? Is it Dortch? Because Marvin Harrison Jr., first off, didn't get the ball, but he's not a burner. And James Conner is not a burner, not like Jalen Wright or not like Devin Achane. Michael Wilson, like Trey McBride. The Arizona offense is not exactly a speed merchant offense the way that Miami is. I guess nobody really is. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. You can give us a call, having a good conversation about what the Bills are doing, the game plan, the running the ball. And we'll have weeks, months to talk about it, of course, over the course of this season. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. All right, very quick stat for you. More calls on the other side. We're short on time. So everybody eats, Joe. I've got a context stat and then a fun stat. Everybody eats. The Bills had 10 players targeted in this game against the Cardinals, right?
Mm-hmm.
They never targeted 10 players in a game last year. They targeted 9.
Mm-hmm.
How many times? Answer? 7 times 9 players were targeted. This idea, I'm going to push back on it every time it gets mentioned, because they have been spreading the ball around for years. Years! It's not new. They had the NFL record for receivers with a touchdown in a season. Pass catchers, right? Like, it's not.
Yes, they
it
did.
Is not new.
Or they were going for it.
It is not new. However, I have one fun stat. So 10 players targeted. I found a game where the Bills targeted 11 players.
Last year?
No. In the Josh Allen era, there were 11 targets. It's hard to get 11. How would you get to 11? Don't you feel like 10 maxes it out?
Yeah. What about like a blowout where their backups are coming in late? No?
No, it's kind of funny. Just think about it.
A Chief game?
Nope.
Is it the Tommy Sweeney game?
No. I don't know. Maybe.
What is that?
I was just looking at random games to find out how many times have they targeted 9 or 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Because they do spread the ball around a lot, and it is not new. The answer is the Houston playoff game. 11 players targeted, including Josh Allen.
Right. That helps.
So wait a minute.
Quarterback in on it.
Before they had Diggs, they were throwing to 11 players per game. Yeah. How about that? And Diggs came in and ate up all those targets. Like Pat DeMarco down the field and Duke Williams.
Oh, they threw him 10 times in that game, I think.
They did. 11 targets in the Houston playoff game. Anyway. All right. Thought I'd give you some fun stats. Everybody eats. It's not that new for them. It's kind of normal for Josh Allen. He's good at spreading the ball around. Back on the other side, more of your phone calls. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports as well, to dig into the field goal decision. Was it the right move? Got a couple ready to say that it was. Would like to hear from you. 803-0550. Tuesday. Football Tuesday. Temps in the 80s soon. Yeah, that's right. It's going to get warm again. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.